This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى عليه وصحبه أجمعين. As usual, we praise and thank Allah the Almighty, send blessings and salutations on the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his family, his companions, and all of us who believe till the day of judgment. This is your brother Muhammad Akbar, and I shall be your host once again today. And I would like to greet you with the most honorable of the greetings, the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is an initiative of Al Manar Islamic Center. Al Manar Islamic Center is run under the patronage of Her Highness Sheikh Hind bin Maktoum bin Jamal Al Maktoum, wife of His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, Vice President, Prime Minister, and the ruler of Dubai. We thank Allah the Almighty for choosing us to be a part of this wonderful learning group. And I would now like to take the honor and the privilege to introduce to you today's speaker. Once again, my dear brothers and sisters, we have been blessed to have among us Sheikh Ahmed Hamid. Now, let me give you a brief introduction on Sheikh Ahmed Hamid. Sheikh Ahmed Hamid is a motivational speaker on Islam and comparative religion. He's also a corporate trainer, life coach with spiritual touch. He presents Islam in a dynamic way and clarifies misconceptions about Islam on the basis of Quran, authentic teachings of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and other world religious scriptures with reason, logic, and scientific understanding. He is a former board member of Muhammad bin Rashid Al Maktoum Award for World Peace, established by the decree of His Highness Sheikh Muhammad bin Rashid Al Maktoum, Vice President and Prime Minister of the UAE and ruler of Dubai. An initiative to accurately and fairly highlight Islam's teaching of peace as a doctrine that promotes harmony, tolerance, and moderation. He has gained prominence through his strategic approach in organizing large events and has been a regular contributor to peace initiatives by putting together international conferences, lectures, and programs. His main expertise are the following, for example, public talks, dawah training, personality development workshops, life coaching, organizing large conventions, Islamic courses and workshops, counseling programs, social guidance, life skills, training and mentoring. So please stay focused as we present to you Sheikh Ahmed Hamid on the topic, tips to manage relationships. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is such an important topic that when we connect ourselves to one another, it becomes very important for us to have a relationship alive with them in the Islamic perspective. So now I would like to invite Sheikh Ahmed Hamid to please come forward and take over the session and share more knowledge with us so that he shares his tips on managing relationships.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Am I audible?
Very much audible, Sheikh. Yes, we can hear you very clearly.
Jazakallahu feek.
Jazakallahu khair. Wa barakallahu feek. Once again.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulihil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa'budullaha wa la tushrik bihi shay'a. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي. My beloved brothers and sisters, welcome again to another live webinar on the topic tips to manage relationships. Walhamdulillah, we praise and we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah Rabbul Izzah to help us fix our relationships stronger and deeper for His sake. Ameen Ya Rabbul Alameen. My beloved brothers and sisters, at the outset, always it is important to learn with reason. Learn with reason. Why do we need to manage relationships? Subhanallah, if we actually ponder over this point, where we have to really, really think over again and again that how important it is to manage relationships. Inshallah, when we realize that, we would at least think twice to sever our relationships with anyone. Allahu Akbar. My beloved brothers and sisters, we're living in a time where we are actually, to be honest, and honestly speaking, into relationship crisis. Yes, indeed. We are into relationship crisis. And subhanAllah, it becomes more important when we see that there is a problem which is increasing every single day, where we see the relationships are not being valued the way it is supposed to be. So my beloved brothers and sisters, it is highly important for us to understand the management of relationships. You know, subhanAllah, perhaps we are quite good when it comes to building relationships. We build relationships, perhaps very quickly, some of us. But then it is quite challenging and it becomes more, difficult many a times to manage the relationships. And subhanAllah, Allah Rabbul Izzah, He has created us. And in our lives, we actually see two types of relationships that we need to build and manage, subhanAllah. The first relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted us with our own family members. SubhanAllah, this is absolutely Allah's plan that He has chosen us for mother, for us mother, father, brother, sister, these relationships, or these kind of relationships, which we say blood relations, relatives, they are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in reality, this is a plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it comes as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each relationship that we actually see. The second type of relationship is that which Allah Rabbul Izzah has obviously planned it, but He gave the freedom for us to actually choose. For example, neighbors. For example, He has given us the liberty to choose friends, spouses. These relationships that we actually try to choose and build for ourselves. And subhanAllah, Islam is a complete balanced way of life, which actually gave us the guideline that we can actually build and manage relationships absolutely better and powerful. Walhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِ الْقُرْبَى. So Allah Rabbul Izzah, He says in Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, ayah number 36, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, do not associate anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it comes as a command. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not associate partners with Him. And to your parents, do the excellent, performance in terms of all things. Do good with them, with ihsan. And with the relatives. So relations are also taken into consideration. Upholding ties is actually a duty of every one of us. And this is the duty which is given by none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and be conscious. Be conscious of Allah through whom you demand mutual rights with each other. And do not cut off relations of wombs, of relatives, of your belonging ones. Do not cut off relationships. So it comes as a duty upon every one of us and the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep the relationships, upholding ties, subhanAllah. And Allah Rabbul Izzah, He has warned us in Surah Ar-Ra'd, Surah number 13, ayah number 25, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and those who break the covenant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after its ratification and sever that which Allah has commanded to be joined, that is, they sever the bond of relations, subhanallah, and work mischief on the land, and on them, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, and on them is the curse. And not just that, in this world, this is the curse, which means they are away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who cut off relationships. And for the hereafter, in the hereafter, for them is an unhappy home, which means the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. My beloved brothers and sisters, there cannot be any more importance that can be triggered than to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave us the command, He gave us the instruction to keep your ties intact, to make sure that you do not cut off your relationships, because this will bring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, meaning you'll be away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the hereafter, there'll be a worse punishment for those kind of people. Subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gave us the definition of upholding ties. You know, it's not about you are good to those who are good to you. It's not about you visit to those who visit you. It's not about you gift to those who gift to you. It's not about you greet to one who greets back to you. It's about you give it regardless whether people give it to you or not. That is upholding ties. And that is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, the one who maintains a relationship with the relatives only because they maintain it with them, then this is actually not upholding ties. Upholding ties means the one who uphold ties regardless of the other person do it or not. Subhanallah. This brings to our notice that, mashallah, in Islam, the point that we have gained in as a part of our guidance in managing relationships is regardless whether people, they care for you or not, you care for them. They might do things which they wish or they like to do, but you as a person, you as a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to work in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guided you. And this also brings our notice that the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, reported by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said that there is no wrong action. There is no wrong action which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swifter, is strong in taking account to punish in the world in addition to the punishment of the hereafter. And that is than cutting off ties. Cutting off ties with the kin and the kith, the relatives, subhanAllah. And being unjust or doing injustice. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought again a point of warning for us if we cut off our relationships with people, then it's actually we have to be prepared for a swift account. And this is a punishment in this world as well as in the hereafter, subhanAllah. So my beloved brothers and sisters, it is very, very important to understand also that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, those who believe in Allah and the last day, meaning those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Yawm al-Akhir, they must maintain relations. So my beloved brothers and sisters, it becomes so important for us as a reason to keep up ties and bonds with people and manage relationships, in our lives. And subhanAllah, Allah Rabbul Izzah, whenever He gives an instruction to follow, He always helps us with what? With guidance. He shows us the way through the Quran and practically showing the demonstration through the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what are those principles that we need to keep in mind in managing relationships? These principles are so important and they are like core, very, very significant. And if we really want to manage relations, we have to follow these principles. There is, I repeat, there is no way that you and I can manage relationships better and more healthier than following these principles. Subhanallah. There is no other way than these principles. So what are these principles? Number one, the principle number one, love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, it is said that the love which is for the sake of Allah never dies. If you and I love each other for the sake of Allah, it demands what? It demands purity. It demands sincerity. It demands that which is so beautiful in relationships. So you carry a special care and compassion for that person because you know that you are loving each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to do that, the principle demands that you need to fix your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. If your and my relationship with Allah Rabbul Izzah is not good, is weak, is shallow, it's something which is, very, very bleak, then obviously your and my relationship with anyone will not be powerful. It will never be stronger. It will never be deep. It will never be sincere. Subhanallah. So you and I have to fix our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. And that means that we need to believe in Him and we need to sincerely submit and obey Him in His commands. Subhanallah. So when you fix relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will work for you. Allah will make things easy for you. Allah will guide you and He will put your love in the hearts of your beloved ones. So those who are sincere will definitely love you back. Many a times we try to please people at the expense of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thinking that my relationship will tamper with people, we don't think that this act or any act that tampers my relationship with my maker, with my creator, with my cherisher, with my sustainer, with my Rabb, what is going to happen? What's the consequence? Subhanallah. So I need to make sure that I will never please people at the expense of losing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to keep Allah Rabbul Izzah on my side always. In order to do that, I need to fix my relationship. Have strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your and my relationship, the more it is stronger, deeper, sincere, submissive with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we will be able to manage relationships with the people. Why? Why is it so? Because when we actually love each other for the sake of Allah, fixing our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we work on the terms of Allah. Your and my terms will not work that way. It will never ever bring results. You know, it might give you temporary, a point of, satisfaction, but then it will never be long-term. It will never be fruitful. It will never be productive. It will never be beautiful. Why? Because the mercy has to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kind of beauty, the strength in love has to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the owner of all that. So when you fix your relationship, you work on Allah's terms. So you forgive people for the sake of Allah. You love people for the sake of Allah. You don't really matter things. You matter what Allah Rabbul Izzah says. So first principle is love each other for the sake of Allah, fixing your relationship at the first with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second principle is you need to follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You need to have a role model in life in managing relationships. How the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam managed his relationships, right? Subhanallah, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is meant to be the best example, as Allah Rabbul Izzah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The best example for you and I to follow in our lives is the life of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look how Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam maintained relationships with all people. And we'll talk about all those relations, inshallah, in a while. Third, we need to work on excellence. You know, what is ihsan? If the principle of ihsan is missing in managing relations, we will never be able to manage. We may build for temporary time period, but then eventually we'll drop off. We'll tamper our relations. So if the ingredient of ihsan, excellence, does not come in our principle book of relationships, we will never be able to carry our relationships better, stronger, healthier, and happier. We will never be able to. So what is ihsan? Ihsan is you do extra what the person deserves. You do extra what the person deserves. A person might not deserve the kind of or the level of treatment, but what did you do? You did it extra. That is ihsan. So a person might not do anything, but you still do it. What is that? That is a sign of ihsan. So have the quality of ihsan, you know, excellence in your principles of life to manage relationships. Number four, respect. Today, we see there is a lack of respect even in the relationship, which is the most important. You know, after Allah and His Messenger, the most important relationship that we have in our lives is of our parents. We see there is a lack and a gap of relation of respect in this relationship. Allah Rabbul Izzah, He says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Allahu Akbar. Allah says that Allah has honored the children of Adam. So if Allah has honored the children of Adam, and among the children of Adam, you as a parents, who's Allah Rabbul Izzah, وَبِلْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So you need to have extreme level of respect, right? So respect for everyone, regardless who that person is, whether he's a Muslim or a non-Muslim, a person whom you know, whom you don't know, anyone. Respect for the mankind is guaranteed and decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you and I cannot definitely, you know, leave that aspect. And subhanAllah, respect is actually shown at the time of disagreement. You don't respect each other, will go on, you know, you and I can respect each other very nicely as long as we are good in relations. But the moment you and I argue, disagree, come into conflict, there is a dispute, there's a difference of opinion, that's when actual respect is reflected. Allahu Akbar. That's when your respect, the quality of that you have respect, the principle that you have respect, it reflects very clearly at the time of turbulence, at the time of that crisis, at the time of that difficult situation that you and I are in, that state, the actual respect is evaluated. Allahu Akbar. So my beloved brothers and sisters, you and I have to make sure that we carry respect in our lives for everyone, inshallah, in order to manage relations, inshallah. The fifth principle is always, always value a person over a problem. This principle, it works like anything. It works like wonders, subhanallah. By the will of Allah Rabbul Izzah, it works like wonders. When you value a person, for example, when you value your mother, any problem that comes into that relationship, it's trivial. It's nothing. When you value your friend in terms of any problem that comes in, those problems become very smaller. When you value your husband, when you value your wife, the problem that might happen in between both of you, it has very little significance. Why? Because you have given high respect and importance to that relationship, to that person, that these problems, these issues become, you know, trivial. And we cannot expect that there will be no issues. There'll definitely be issues. There'll definitely be problems. But then the beauty lies in when you value a person over a problem, when you value a relationship over an issue. Subhanallah. So my beloved brothers and sisters, principle number one, love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fixing your relationship first with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, always follow the model of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number three, work for excellence, ihsan. Number four, respect everyone. Number five, always value a person over a problem. Inshallah, when we do these things, when we work and when we live our lives based on these principles, inshallah, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, we can say, we can definitely, by the will of Allah, by the mercy and the permission of Allah, we will definitely be able to manage relationships in our lives. My beloved brothers and sisters, as I said, there are two types of relations that we carry in our lives, right? One is which is given by Allah, and one is we choose. Allah gave us the freedom to choose. Now let's take up these relations and evaluate each other. Evaluate and introspect each other and understand that how am I in this relationship? What does I mean by giving importance to the relationship? So what is the relationship that I need to actually manage, inshallah? So my beloved brothers and sisters, what we need to realize and understand is we have to have a very clear understanding of what are those relations that we need to manage in our lives, subhanallah. So number one is mother. In the entire world, the first relation that comes into play where you have to manage your relationships is your mother, my mother. So make sure, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in hadith, that the most honorable one who deserve the companionship is your mother, and then your father. So mother, you and I have to make sure that we carry our relationship better and stronger. And how do we carry that relationship? By making sure that there are certain tips that we need to keep in mind, which we'll talk about inshallah in a while. Those tips which we have to ensure that all these relations that I'm going to count on have to be managed in a way that is very beautiful and powerful at the same time, inshallah. So mother, father is a beautiful and powerful figure in our lives who make us proud of gaining that momentum, subhanallah. So how do we carry a relationship with our fathers as well? And subhanallah, this relationship with father and mother, it doesn't cut off if anybody's father has passed away or mother has passed away. You can still count on relationship and carry the relationship with your father or mother, even if they passed away, by making sure that you continuously do good and pray for them. Their daraja, their levels will go higher and higher. And subhanallah, this is how you actually keep your relationships up with your parents as well, inshallah. Then comes your siblings. You know, Allah Rabbul Izzah chose your brothers and sisters to be the brothers and sisters of yours and mine. So we need to make sure that we value those relationships of brothers and sisters in our lives. Of course, we have the relations, the relatives in our lives. Again, they are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what Allah Rabbul Izzah, he says, be good to your relatives. So many times in the Quran. And in fact, subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he also said that if you and I would like to get increase in our age and in our risk, in our sustenance, we must keep up our ties with our relatives. So upholding ties, and regardless, as I said, regardless, the standard is regardless whether they do it to you or not, you uphold ties with them makes your and my life has more barakah, more blessing, and also it increases the amount of sustenance in our lives as well, inshallah. And then we have relationship with our children. Again, they are the blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What kind of bond that we have with our relations, with our children, subhanallah. What kind of beauty that we actually blend ourselves with when it comes to our children also makes a real big factor for our happiness, inshallah, in our lives. Also, my beloved brothers and sisters, the relationship that we also have in our lives is that we choose, and that is spouse, husbands and wife. Many times we choose our spouse, and subhanallah, this bond that comes into play, a person who is unknown completely in one night, that person becomes a part and parcel of your life. She or he becomes the life partner for each other. And subhanallah, this relationship is so much discussed in the Quran and in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because in reality, this is the relationship that basically forms the beautiful family by an extension to our society and the entire ummah as well. So the beautiful, the more stronger, healthier and happier that relationship is, the more better the ummah will be at large, inshallah. So how do we actually make sure that we manage relationship with husband and wife? Also, we'll talk about it, inshallah. Student and teacher has, again, a relationship, a neighbor as well. So much discussed in the Quran and in the Sunnah about the importance of neighbors, that we have to have relations, inshallah. Businessmen and customers, you know, this again has a relationship. Again, this is also governed by the principles that we had just discussed in this session, inshallah. Employer and employees also have that relationship with each other, and they actually have to be again governed by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My beloved brothers and sisters, what does the relationship demand? How do we expect a relationship to manage and carry on for a long time? How do we expect? What are those demands of maintaining or managing relationships in our lives? Number one, time. Yes. In all these relationships that we counted on, we assume that the relationship can be better and stronger without investing our time. That's not possible. For you and I to make sure that we manage our relationships better and powerful, we need to fulfill the demand, and that is time. The first demand is time. Subhanallah, this relationship to grow in a better way, to develop in a way that becomes beautiful, we need to invest time. And it doesn't mean that you invest 24/7 with your loved ones. It doesn't mean that. It means that the amount of time that you actually spend, that becomes so valuable, so beautiful, so worthy, that you invest that 10 minutes sitting at the legs of your mother, for example, and massaging your mother, for example, few minutes, 2-3 minutes of that time that you spend in kissing the head, forehead of your mother, for example, and making sure that you give water without even she or he asks you, your parents, right? So investing certain time, make it worthwhile, make it worthy. You know, subhanallah, the amount of time that you and I can spend, of course, it becomes very challenging to give a lot of time to our relationships. But the problem is we do not value the amount of time that we take with our loved ones. We need to make it absolutely high value out of it. Make it worthwhile. Make it valuable. Make it really extraordinary. Subhanallah. And how do we do that? By making sure that we focus on that time. By making sure that we give that quality time to that relationship that we have. And subhanallah, by doing so, we actually gain that momentum of happiness. And subhanallah, this is something which is so important in our lives. Giving time to each other is one of the key demands of managing relationships. Number two is attention. Yes, you and I have to be attentive in managing relations. You know, for example, when a husband leaves the house, how does the husband should be with the wife? And how should be the wife with the husband? Those moments of departure in the morning and those moments of welcoming in the evening between husband and wife, those moments, how do you depart? It's very important. Pay attention to it. The way you depart, that will set the tone for the day. The way you welcome, that will set the tone of the night. So make sure you're attentive. You give warm departure to your husband by making dua, greeting, and you can be as good, as beautiful as you can when you depart. And make sure you welcome in a beautiful way. Your husband has gone out, you know, working with stress, with so many challenges out there, which you're not aware of. But the moment he comes in, you need to make sure that you give that warm welcome. Those moments requires attention. And the husband, when he comes, he has to forego all those challenges, those stresses, those pressure outside the home. The moment he comes, he should make the entire home feel that you are in. It should not be unattentive, entry. It should be a very strong, powerful, influential entry. So those moments that you actually have require attention, and how you actually are attentive towards each other. And this is applicable for all the relations that we have. Time does not allow us to go in each relationship as a case study, although we can do that. And subhanAllah, this is so important. So I'm just sharing the tits and bits of the overall demands that we can make in our lives and fulfill in our lives, and we can gain amazing fruits out of it, inshallah. So time, attention. Number three, affection. You know, love, we say, affection, we say, is the key driver in any relationship. It drives and manages your relationship, you know, a lot. Many times we don't say, you know, subhanAllah, and I ask this as a question to myself and to all of you. When was the last time that you said, I love you, my mother? I love you, my father? Husbands, when was the time that you said to your wife and the wife said to your husband, when was it? When was the last time that you told your own children, I love you? So the amount of love is felt with words, good words, with feelings, that emotions that you blend yourself with, and the physical action. So your words, your feelings, your emotions, all of these will make love reflected. Many of the people, they think and they want to live in this notion that, you know what, my love is in the heart. Well, who has gone inside your heart to see what lies there? You need to reflect it. You need to present it, and you need to show it. Show it in, not in the sense of showing off, but show it means you need to reflect it, make it manifested, you know, seen and felt by the people around you. So that is very, very important demand that you and I have to fulfill. Number four is sacrifice. As we say, no prize without sacrifice. So managing relationship requires sacrifice. You know, subhanAllah, Allah Rabbul Izzah, he says in Surah Al Imran, Surah number 3, ayah number 92, لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never attain al-birr, piety, goodness, righteousness, until you love, you sacrifice that which you love the most. So you need to have the ability to pay sacrifice. If there is no sacrifice in life, you can never manage relationships. Why sacrifice is important? Because life is not a straight line. It has ups and downs. It has good and bad. It has good times and bad times. It has positive times and negative times. So in all those things, you need to pay sacrifice. You need to go an extra mile. You need to make sure that you give up sometimes things which you might love the most. So you need to pay sacrifice in order to fulfill the demand in relationships, inshallah. The final thing is commitment. You know, you need to be committed in relationship. If that relationship demands commitment, because you have formed the relationship, You know, a stranger is someone you can, you know, smile at and greet at the max. And, you know, you are not going to live with him. But the moment you have your circle of relationship, you need to be committed. Meaning you need to show love. You need to be attentive. You need to have the sense of belongingness with them. And you need to spend time with them. You need to pay sacrifice at times. You need to make dua for them, for the betterment. So you need to do so many things. What does it call in one word? Commitment. You need to have the sense of commitment in order to fulfill the demand in order to manage relationships, inshallah, in your life. So my beloved brothers and sisters, these are the five demands that we have in our lives that we need to keep in mind to make sure that we manage our relationships better. Now, what are those things that we need to keep in mind while managing relationships? And what are those things that which we need to avoid? So number one, what are the things that we need to keep in mind that we have to have in order to manage relations? Number one, we need to have understanding with each other. If there is no understanding, or if there is low understanding, or if there is a misunderstanding, that relation can never carry for long time. Mark these words. Understand that without a key, proper understanding with each other, you can never manage relationships better. In fact, you can't manage relations. Why? Because you don't have an understanding, or you have a misunderstanding, or you have lack of understanding. Subhanallah. So you need to make sure that you understand the person better. And Islam gives us a principle to have a good thoughts with each other. So anything could happen between two people. When there are two people, there are two minds. When there are two minds, there are two thinkings. Two thinkings means difference of opinion. Anything is possible. So the point is, you and I have to have a good understanding with each other. And how does a good understanding build? You need to have a good thinking about each other. When you have a good thinking, as Allah Rabbul Izzah, through the example of the Prophet taught us, he said that have husnul dhan. Have husnul dhan. What is husnul dhan? Is having good thoughts about your beloved ones. Be it your father, mother, spouse, children, siblings, anyone. Have good thought process. As a principle, as a base, no one is bad. Think about it. As a base, in a sense, everyone is good. But there are certain things, or the qualities of the people, or the behavior of the people, that is bad. So that can be corrected, inshallah. So work with this principle and have this understanding, good understanding. Number two, trust. When you have understanding, obviously it builds what? It builds trust. And this trust is so strong that you do not want to hear about that person from any third person. And that gives us another very important thing, and that is communication. Today, we break relationships. Why? Because we do not communicate with each other. Or we communicate in a very improper way, in a very unethical way. Or we don't know how to communicate with each other. We lack vocabulary. We lack words which are good. We lack goodness in our words. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, speak good to people. Good is defined as good words. The words, the choice of words that you and I use in our lives must be good. And subhanallah, many times when there is a breakup in relationship, the problem is we do not want to communicate. We do not want to communicate with each other. So how is it possible that you can bring a solution without communication? So the first thing you and I have to understand is, to manage relations, we need to have communication. Clear, comprehensive communication. This is very important. You know, when even if you have a difference of opinion, sit and talk. Speak out. Respectfully, speak out. Many times when you communicate, things can be sorted out. Relationships can be saved. Subhanallah. It is quite sad reality that we are facing in the world today, that the relationships are breaking up because of petty, tiny, trivial issues. Allahu Akbar. The separation between husband and wife is happening quite often. Why? There is no scope of communication between them. You know, children are breaking up with their parents. Why? Because there is a gap of communication. Subhanallah. So communicate with each other and make sure that this communication goes with respect, with clarity, with confidence, with, you know, keeping up things straight, inshallah. So communication is again a very important thing. And have patience. When you want to manage patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created us, you know, and made us for each other as a test. Subhanallah. He made us as a test with each other. So we are living in this world full of tests, and everyone around us is a part of that test. When they are a part of test, what do we need to do? We need to be patient. We need to carry on that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with patience. And remember, go back to the principle that we have talked about. When you work on terms of Allah Rabbul Izzah, when you are patient, you're not patient because of that person. Remember that. Many times we do this mistake that, you know, I'm being very patient for you. No, it's not for that person. It's for Allah Rabbul Izzah. Why? Because it's Allah who said, "Inna Allah ma'as sabirin." Allah is with those who are patient. Why? Because Allah said, those who have patience will have what? Paradise, Jannah, inshallah. So what can that person give to me? What that can person punish to me? Nothing, right? So I should be patient for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that person. When your aim is that big, that's how your aim is, you don't get engaged in trivial issues. Your purpose is very high. You are created with a higher goal, with a higher purpose. And that is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to benefit humanity. So when you're patient, be patient for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gratitude. Relationships require gratitude. Give the sense of thanksgiving to each other. Today, we think that it's a big thing, or it's a very wrong thing to say thank you to each other. Subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, he who does not be grateful to people, he who does not thankful to people are not thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you and I, if I can't or you can't be thankful to people who have done probably little with us, how can we be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has done so much to us? So make sure you show the attitude of gratitude towards people. And that also manages your relationships, inshallah. Also, my beloved brothers and sisters, managing relationships, one of the tips requires is forgiveness. Subhanallah, forgiveness is something which is so important these days. You and I, mark these words, you and I can never manage relationships without the element or the quality or the ability of forgiving each other. And again, forgive each other not because of that person, but because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because our rewards in ajriya illa ala Allah, our reward lies with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanallah, Allah Rabbul Izzah, He says in Surah Nur, Surah number 24, and number 22, Allah Rabbul Izzah, He says, forgive, overlook their faults, pardon them. Don't you want Allah to forgive you? Meaning, when we forgive people, Allah does what? He forgives us. When we are kind to people, Allah will be kind to us. So make sure you have this quality of forgiveness. And this forgiveness is very much to do with making sure that you forget the things which have been done in the past, and you look forward for the present, and you move forward in the future, inshallah. So forgiveness is something which is very, very important to manage your relationships healthier, inshallah. Many times we might manage relationships, but they're not on healthy terms. They're not beautiful. They don't have that fruits of enjoyment, subhanallah. Those pleasurable moments will not be there in that relationship. Why? Because you still have that guilt. You still have that grudges. You still have that animosity, that hatred in the heart. And that becomes heavy. And that becomes black. That becomes hard. That becomes harsh. That you are not able to forgive people, subhanallah. When you forgive people, you will make sure that your heart will be lighter. And people ask me questions, you know, how long? I say, until we die. Why? Because forgiveness is an act of goodness. And we will make sure this act of goodness will lead us until we die, inshallah. And even after we die, we have to gain Jannah, inshallah. And to do that, to achieve that, we need to make sure that we forgive people. And forgiving people means forgetting what they've done to us and making our heart clean and clear, inshallah. Also, my beloved brothers and sisters, in order to manage relationships, we need to have the element of mercy, kindness, sympathy, and empathy towards people. If there is no gentleness, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us guidance so beautiful. He said, Allahu Akbar, my beloved brothers and sisters, he said, whenever gentleness, kindness blends with anything, it becomes more beautiful. It generates what? Kindness, subhanallah. So when you and I are kind with each other, merciful to each other, we're bound to manage relationships, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. One of the key tips that I want to give to you and to myself as an advice is, my beloved brothers and sisters, we expect from people when we do things, subhanallah. When I love you, I want you to love me back. And this is, subhanallah, we call it as love. But in reality, Islam has discarded this definition. And the definition of Islam, of love in Islam, is something very beautiful. The definition of love in Islam is that you love others regardless whether they love you back or not. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because if they or you expect them to love you back, it means it's an exchange. It's nothing, you know, better than a business transaction. You love people regardless of what they do to you, or what they do to you, subhanallah. So you expect something which is, when it is not met. So for example, when you love someone and that person doesn't love you back, meaning he did not met your standard of expectation, then you get frustrated, you get disappointed, you get, you know, agitated. And at the expense of all these things, you break up. That's not love in Islam. In Islam, love is regardless of what the other person does, because you love for the sake of Allah. Your love for that person is there in your heart. And regardless whether that person loves you back or not, you still keep on loving that person. That is true love in reality. And that has to be understood, because people have a lot of expectations with each other. And if those expectations are not met at any given point, what happens? What happens? Issues, problems, difficulties, and breakups at the end of the day. So keep yourself as best as you can to live as a non-expectation life, subhanallah. And this will give you real happiness. Another advice is to keep up the quality of care, compassion in your life, in your relationships. So when you have care, when you have compassion in your relationship, that becomes more better and healthier, and it becomes it gives the fruits of happiness, subhanallah. So care could be as little as opening the door for your elders, you know, greeting to someone whom you don't know. So this is something which generates the energy for managing relationships, inshallah, and making sure that you don't live in the past, but rather leave the past. Let me repeat, don't live in the past, but leave the past. People, they don't want to manage relationships for long because they want to live in the past. What you have done, what the person has done to you 1 year back, 2 years back, 5 days back, 10 years back. People keep that in their minds and hearts so much so that they don't want to live without the past. But reality should be they have to leave the past and they have to live in the present so that they can actually receive this present, as a gift, as a blessing. And they need to move forward in their lives in the future, inshallah. This is how you actually make and manage your relationships better and fruitful, inshallah. My beloved brothers and sisters, there are certain things that you and I have to also avoid at times. And what are those things to avoid in managing relationships? Is we need to ensure that we avoid, extreme anger. We need to avoid anger. Most of the time, the relationship breaks up because of the unsurpassable, limits, of anger. Subhanallah. And this anger, you and I are not free with. We all get angry at one or the other time. But to manage that anger is very, very important, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to the one who asked Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam an advice. Oh Prophet, give me advice. He said, La taghdab, don't get angry. He said, La taghdab, don't get angry. He said, La taghdab, don't get angry. So why did he say repeatedly this? Because this is a key which breaks the relations. Subhanallah. If it's not controlled in a better way, managed in a right way, it actually spoils home. And this is one of the reasons of breaking of the marriages, breaking of the relationships in general. My beloved brothers and sisters, in order to manage relationships, we need to avoid extreme anger also. We need to ensure that we avoid negativity. Relationship becomes really, bad and unhealthy when it is blended with negativity. When you think about your beloved ones, be it your mother, father, spouse, children, siblings, whoever it is, when you have negativity in your, when you wear a negative frame and you see things, obviously, what are you going to see? Negative things. So when you want to manage relationships, you need to ensure that you make sure that you avoid negativity, inshallah, in your lives. Also, you need to avoid suspicion, avoid suspicion. Many times relationships get tampered and they actually driven away. Why? Because they carry the sense of suspicion in their lives. They always try to doubt about things. They try to take out mistakes about the things, be it a husband or a wife or a mother or a father or a brother or a sister, whoever it is. Avoid suspicion, because many times suspicion is a sin, subhanallah. So avoid suspicion. Avoid arguments. Don't try to get into arguments again and again, subhanallah. Yes, at times you have a difference of opinion. Go back to the principle of respect. You can settle your affairs. You can, even for the separation, you have to be respectfully in that act, in that state. You need to respectfully depart at times. So make sure that you avoid arguments. During arguments, what happens? The temperature goes higher. Our words will lose control. Our mind will lose control. And as such, we lose that loved one who cared for us for so many years, who loved us for so much, without any materialistic, attraction. Subhanallah. So avoid arguments in order to manage relations, inshallah. Avoid ego. Subhanallah. In order to manage relationships, it can never ever be managed when I do not avoid ego. We pump ego so much that we give value to ourselves so much that we become obsessed with our personality. We try to develop the sense of superiority so much that we try to see things and people very low. And as such, you don't care for them. You don't value them. And as such, you lose them. So managing relationships means you need to really, really manage your ego. You know, we all have ego. But then if this ego takes a level where we actually lose control, then definitely it is something which is really bad. And subhanAllah, the severity of carrying ego and pride can be understood with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said that a person who has the atom's weight of pride will not get the fragments of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So my beloved brothers and sisters, you and I would want to go to the highest levels of Jannah. And here the Prophet said, who has the ego will not get the fragments of Jannah. Let us take a very strong decision to make sure that we stop breaking up at the expense of fulfilling our egos in our lives. Also, my beloved brothers and sisters, avoid injustice. You know, injustice, many times it takes a turn towards that direction which is destructive, which is wrong, which is unjust and unfair. Subhanallah. Avoid expecting perfection. This is very, very important, and I would like to end with it. Avoid perfection. You know, don't expect a person to be perfect, and neither don't expect yourself to be perfect. We all are human beings, and meaning human beings have flaws, have shortcomings, have weakness in our nature. Subhanallah, we are weak, right? So we can never ever expect ourselves to be perfect. Neither we can expect anyone to be perfect. So obviously, when we are not perfect, we are bound to make mistakes. We're bound to commit certain things which are not desirable. We're bound to have shortcomings. So embrace yourself. Accept yourself and others that they and I, every one of us, have shortcomings and have goodness as well. Subhanallah. So when you expect perfection and you don't get what you expect, then what happens? You get into regret. Eventually, it takes into breakup. So don't expect perfection with each other. We are all human beings. We have to understand and accept and embrace and acknowledge our imperfection, because naturally we are human beings and we are bound to commit mistakes and shortcomings, and we also have goodness. So expect from people that they have goodness and they have certain shortcomings. When you have that clear expectations, inshallah, you'll be able to manage your relationships better, healthier, and happier, inshallah. And you will come out of the blaming game. You know, you didn't do that. You didn't, fulfill my things. You don't. So stop blaming. This also corrupts relationship. So make sure, my beloved brothers and sisters, we avoid these things, we follow these advices, and we work on the principles, we fulfill those demands that we have talked about. Make sure that relationship is very, very valuable. You value it, you think about it, you keep in your heart, you put it in your action, choose the right words, and make sure that we don't get into breaking up. We don't, get into a state or a situation of a relationship crisis. My beloved brothers and sisters, as we heard from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we heard from the ayat of the Quran, relationships are very valuable. Let us make sure that we keep up those relationships. Let us make sure that we maintain and manage these relationships. Let us uphold ties with each other so that inshallah we will be able to live happily in this world, and we will be able to enjoy the real bliss, enjoyment, pleasure, satisfaction, glory in the hereafter by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the highest levels of Jannah, which we all are aiming for. Let us work towards it. Let us act towards it. Let us make sure that we be the conciler of the hearts. Let us be the advisors of patience, truth, and tranquility, my beloved brothers and sisters. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mend the relationships of every one of us, those who have broken up. Let us make sure that we pick up a phone call, pick up mobiles, pick up your phones and call to those whom you have cut off for years altogether, weeks altogether. Reconcile, because this is the beauty that you will enjoy with. You have to make sure that you come together, enjoy yourself by the relationship that Allah has blessed you with. Make sure that you are not a person who breaks up the relationships, but a person who builds and manages and maintains relationships for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following the path and the principles of Islam. And by this way, inshallah, Allah's mercy will be on us and Allah's help will be on us. Allah's support will be on us. And as we know that Allah Rabbul Izzah, He has the power of changing the hearts. Allah will change the hearts. Let us be the agent of goodness, be the agent of welfare, and develop the sense of belongingness with each other so that we may enjoy in this world and the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakallahu khairan wa barakallahu fiqh, Sheikh, for throwing light and knowledge and guiding us on such an important topic, tips to manage relationships. In fact, a few minutes back, I went to my wife and told her, I love you. And inshallah, I intend to call up my mom after Salat al-Maghrib to tell her that I love you. And in front of everyone today, I would like to tell you that I love you. And subhanAllah, you rightly, barakallahu feek. And as you rightly mentioned, it gives an amazing pleasure in my heart to say this and to get to know that they love me too for the sake of Allah the Almighty. Alhamdulillah. Sheikh, may I kindly find out from you if you could kindly share a few minutes, because we have received a couple number of questions related to the topic from our brothers and sisters so that they would inshallah find some solution out of these problems that you could help them with.
Inshallah.
So I would like to take the first question from a sister who says, sending salam to us, and she says that the fathers generally in a family do not take responsibility of upbringing the children. And in fact, they put it back on the mother, saying that this is your responsibility to take care of the children. And apparently, she adds up saying that in spite of reminding such fathers to spare some time and get into the family affairs, the fathers say that this is not my work, and they keep themselves busy with their friends, not only during off office hours, but also during the weekends. So the sister apparently would like to know how she can deal with these kind of fathers, and is it not their responsibility also to take care of the children along with the mother?
SubhanAllah, the responsibility of upbringing the children is a shared responsibility, where the father has a role, where the mother has a role. It can never, ever be separated and shared by one party. Whenever such activity happens where only mother takes up the role, or where the father only takes up the role, the children's upbringing, it can never be proper and can never be as desired, subhanAllah. So at the first, sister, as a daughter, you need to make sure that you take few moments. And here goes my advice. Take few moments in the last part of the night. Get up, wake up, and pray two rakah bare minimum as tahajjud, and go in the sujood, cry out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah Rabbul Izzah comes down on the lowest part of the earth, of the heaven, subhanallah, as it suits to His majesty, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out, is there anyone to ask so that I can give, subhanallah. At that moment, my beloved sister, cry out, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, help my father to let him correct his affairs. Let him be responsible. Let him take up the role of a father, subhanallah. The role of a father, my beloved brothers and sisters, and I give my attention here to the brothers, to the husbands, to the fathers. This is something which is very, very crucial. You and I have to make sure that we have to be the partner And what is partner? A partner is not one person. A partner is you have to have that partnership with someone. And subhanAllah, this is a supportive role. You both, husband and wife, has to make sure that you get into a partnership of the growth and the development of the children, subhanAllah. And this can never ever be isolated or given to one party at any given time. This is the first advice, my beloved sister, that you call out and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is toll free. You know, anytime, anywhere you can call. But the best timing is what I have advised you in the last part of the night, where Allah Rabbul Izzah comes to the lowest part of the heaven and ask you. So ask Allah Rabbul Izzah for that. Number one, make dua. Number two, counsel. Many a times daughters can make counseling very well to the fathers and show them, remind them. You know, Allah Rabbul Izzah, He says, remind them, as the reminder benefits the believers. And I'm sure he being a believer, alhamdulillah, he will be reminded, inshallah, many times because of the bad company, because of the outside world. We give importance to the outsiders so much, forgetting the beloved, the beauty, the pleasure, the real joy lies right in our homes. And subhanallah, by calling out to Allah and by advising and reminding, and don't lose hope. Don't ever think that my father is not going to change. Never, never ever lose in the hope, in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. So keep up your hope and in the mercy of Allah. Keep trying. Keep trying. Don't give up. Your father would never give up. Your mother would never give up on the children. So we as children also should not give up. Many times the children, they remind us about our responsibility, or the wives, they remind us about our responsibility, or at times we remind our spouses, our wives, for their responsibility. So my beloved sister, this is what you can do, inshallah. And I ask, and I ask everyone to ask for such fathers to make them responsible, inshallah, in their life, so that they can not be held accountable in the hereafter, which is going to be very, very challenging, inshallah.
Jazakallah khairan, Shaykh. That reminds me myself, and inshallah puts me back on track as well. We do have one more question coming up from a sister. And the question is, the sister asks, what if a man who's not related at all to her gives her gifts? What should she understand of that kind of gifts and that kind of relationship? And how should her reaction to him be?
Right. Now, when a stranger gives gifts to a sister, then obviously that stranger knows that sister, even though she does not know. That person knows that sister. That person wants something from that person, expects something. So obviously, taking gifts from a stranger is definitely something which is which brings so many questions into play. If that person is a stranger, obviously he's a ghair mahram, which means he's not related to you. So in Islam, we have certain barriers, certain parameters for sisters in particular, and brothers as well, but sisters in particular. There are certain boundaries that you need to keep always in your life. And these boundaries are not comes as a burden. It comes as a protection. It comes as a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it provides that protection, that safe zone to you and to everyone. So sister, you have to report back to your elders when you get such kind of gifts from a stranger. Report back to your elder and let that person put to task, meaning he should be held into communication and asked, what's the point? What's the reason of giving gifts to my daughter or to my sister? What's the matter? Investigate and try to find out more detail about that person. Why is he interested in giving gifts? And, after finding out the reasons, you can judge based on that. But you need to make sure that you immediately reject these kind of gifts from strangers, and also report back to your elders, so that inshallah these things can be properly set it up, inshallah.
Jazakallah khairan, Shaykh, once again. And there is yet another important question. If time permits, may I please proceed asking you the same?
Bismillah.
A sister again asks a question. What if after a long time of the relationship between her and her husband is still not good, to the extent that she feels really sad about it for over decades together, how should she manage that kind of relationship in spite of she putting a lot and lot of efforts to reconcile between her, her husband, or her in-laws?
Right. Such kind of cases, subhanAllah, for everyone out you who are facing or who are actually struggling in a similar situation, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease your affairs and grant peace to you in your lives, my dear sisters. Definitely, this is ironic to see such kind of behavior from the husbands, from the people around, such a blessing, because you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, you know, this dunya is a pleasure, and the greatest pleasure in this dunya is, subhanallah, a righteous wife. So subhanallah, when you actually don't attend, when you actually don't value the wife, when she's a blessing, this is something which is quite sad, disappointing, and ironic. Subhanallah. May Allah Rabbul Izzah correct the husband's affair in regards with this. Many times, sisters, you need to understand and take quick, swift steps. You know, many times the sisters become quite complacent, meaning they try to think that patience means bearing injustice, bearing that which is wrong, bearing that which is unrequired. That's not really patience. Patience is you stand for the truth, you bear, protect yourself from that which is wrong. So one of the parts of wrongdoing is injustice. So many times the sisters are being are done injustice to an extent that they live like slaves. Subhanallah. May Allah protect us from that. So idea is, sister, you need to make sure that you stay strong, and you need to clarify. Don't just live in that relationship. It has no pleasure, no point of satisfaction. Subhanallah. But talk, communicate, bring up your elders, understand what's going on, what's the affair. Many times the sisters, they don't get involved the elders. Many times the sisters, they don't talk to their husbands. Many times sisters, they don't think that they have to take certain steps. They don't have to spend decades altogether for no reason. Rather, you need to understand that you need to communicate, number one, ask straightforward, respectfully, questions which are very powerful and meaningful. What's wrong with you? What is wrong with me? What is the matter? Let's settle down. Let's resolve. Are you not happy with me? What are the expectations that you have so I can fulfill? So communication, asking each other, you know, resolve a lot. You know, perhaps that person has not married you because of his choice. Perhaps that person is, having a different expectations altogether. So all these can be sorted out and can be evaluated when you communicate at your level. But if you see that this communication is not working anymore, bring your elders. That's what the usul, the principle of Quran and Islam is. You bring up the elders of your family and talk with this guy, talk with his brother, understand what's the matter. And if that again doesn't resolve, involve his elders also and try to, get into certain conclusion, which is good for both the parties. And subhanAllah, by this, you will be able to, inshallah, by the will and the permission of Allah, be able to resolve the matters. Again, I remind myself and all of you to follow the principles what Allah Rabbul Izzah has said. He said, wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Seek the help and support from Allah through patience and prayer. And as I said, patience does not mean you bear injustice. Rather, you speak up for the truth respectfully, in a disciplined manner, in a nice manner, not losing your temper or control, and have that consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you speak. So patience and prayer is something which are very powerful tools of gaining the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Rabbul Izzah is the best one who is the disposer of affairs.
Jazakallah khairan, Shaykh. Just one last question, inshallah, seems to be quite important. And this has been asked by a brother on behalf of his friends. And the question is, how do we react with relatives who are apparently quite richer and who try to look down upon us because we are slightly poorer compared to them? And how long can we bear those insults that they really put forward all the time?
Right. This is a very, very important question, which needs to be addressed. And subhanAllah, we see this in society, which is a very common practice. And what we need to do is we need to make sure that we keep on reminding those kind of people. We need to be accessible to those people, and we need to give them the teaching and understanding that it is not because of the money, because of the wealth, because of the property, because of the worldly status that a person gets richer. The person gets richer because of his heart. The quality of hearts makes a person richer. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in al-akhirah, he will count on hearts, not on the faces, not on the riches, not on the race, not on the nationality, not on the status, not on any other grounds, illa bittaqwa, except with taqwa, with consciousness of Allah. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, at-taqwa hahuna, at-taqwa hahuna, at-taqwa hahuna. The taqwa lies in the heart, the taqwa lies in the heart, and the taqwa lies in the heart. So your heart, if it's richer, it is definitely reflecting that the person is rich. If that heart is not richer, then obviously all these, status, all this, wealth, it's not going to help. So reminding each other is definitely a powerful way. And sometimes you need to tie up a contact who is of similar level, who is perhaps also rich, but very humble. And that's a person whom you need to find out within your family. Perhaps there might be someone who has to counsel that person. Perhaps they might not listen to you. Perhaps they might not give even importance to you. Perhaps they might not even value you. So you need to find out a person who is of equal caliber, yet very humble, yet Allah conscious, yet who gives importance to poor relatives. Indeed, this is a heinous crime to look down upon someone based on their status of this world. This is something which is actually an offense in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they need to be reminded. If they are with good heart, many people, they get corrected. They get into real, attached to the principles of Islam. And inshallah, we hope that this relationship can be sorted out as well. And Allah knows best.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh, once again. Even though I said that should be the last question, but there is one important question, inshallah, after which we could try to conclude the session. Inshallah. And the question is, a Hindu brother who accepted Islam is quite enthusiastic to share the message of Islam with his family members. And every time he does that, his family members who are not Muslim at the moment cut off the relationship. So the brother apparently wants to know how he can maintain the relationship with them while he conveys the message of Islam to them.
SubhanAllah, this is again a very, very important question. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give firmness, strength and stability to this brother upon his faith. Indeed, my beloved brother, you have done the greatest decision that you have made to become a person who is submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the state of Islam, being a Muslim, walhamdulillah. Indeed, any big decision comes with big trials and tribulations. Big tests comes on the way to those who have a bigger purpose in life. And you have defined or you have find out the purpose in your life, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously, on the way, there'll be a full of struggle, hard work, and sacrifices. Now, when it comes to dealing with non-Muslim parents by a Muslim person or family member is very, very sensitive. SubhanAllah. We find in this beautiful, in the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam, for example. In the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran the way he actually addressed his father by stating, Ya Abati. And the ulama, the scholars, have taken this a very big height. And they said, Ya Abati has lot of meaning in this. It has the highest form of respect, love, affection, care, compassion, and so much of that. SubhanAllah. So what we learn is, even though his father was an idol maker and an idol worshipper, still he addressed his father as Ya Abati, oh my father. You know, Lima Ta'budun, why do you worship that which cannot hear, which cannot harm you, which cannot benefit you? So the way he dealt with his family member, particularly the father, was extremely kind. So, dear brother, what you need to understand is perhaps your family members, they are not at the similar level that you are on. Maybe you have taken this decision and you have gone way higher in terms of intellectuality, in terms of understanding and valuing yourself and Islam, alhamdulillah. But perhaps your parents are still, not able to cope up with that understanding. So what I would advise you is, do not try to remind them again and again. Don't get into arguments or engage with them in the matters of worship again and again. Rather, you try initially to make them feel that you have changed completely. You know, you were not like the one how you are now, meaning you became the most obedient child. You became the most loving brother. You became the most responsible brother. You became the most kind person. You became the most generous person. You became the most lovable person. So you try to show up your character, which comes from the spring of Islamic teachings. You show up your character so beautifully well that it reflects without even you say something. They would definitely question themselves, why is he acting like that? Why is he behaving like that? What changed him? What transformation was made? How did it happen? So slowly and slowly, when they try to get into closeness to you, you can now and then you can remind them in a logical way at the beginning that, you know, how can we worship something which does not benefit or harm? How can we worship the creation, leaving the creator? So I chose this way. So what I would advise is this: show up your character, remind them, not very frequently, but look at the right timings. Sometimes the right message at the wrong time gives negative results. So you need to make sure, as Allah Rabbul Izzah says, Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. Invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom, with beautiful preachings, you know, and engage with them in the ways that are most gracious, subhanallah. So dear brother, make sure that you show up your character, remind them at times about the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the oneness of Allah, in a logical way, in an Islamic way, and then make dua. One of the powerful attributes of all the prophets and the messengers and all the righteous people of the past and the present is they make dua for the guidance of the people, and more importantly, for your own parents. So make dua, inshallah. Allah Rabbul Izzah, I ask, Allah Rabbul Izzah to guide them as He guided you in Islam, inshallah, so that they can enjoy the bliss in this world and in the hereafter. Thank you so much. Wa akhiru da'awana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakallah khair, wa barakallah fiqh, Shaykh. As always, your sessions are always very, very easy to understand, and there's a lot of takeaway for all of us. We ask Allah the Almighty to preserve you for the benefit of Ummah. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, once again, you all have been very wonderful audience, and may Allah the Almighty keep the spirit of learning and seeking knowledge alive in all of us. May Allah increase us in knowledge and always help us keep our relationships alive in the Islamic perspective. Ameen. May I request all my brothers and sisters to please do keep following up as for updates on the social media, WhatsApp, and try and please join us for the forthcoming sessions in the future, inshallah. I leave you now in the care of Allah. Jazakumullah khairan wa barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.